Today on our show, we're talking solo, but I'm not doing it solo, man. I'm not doing it solo. Adrian Steve is nowhere to be found, but I'm not by myself. I've got friends here for you guys. We got a special guest for you, and that's happening now on the Nerdy Nomicon.
Synthaholics.
Synthaholics. It's the Snack Tackle Podcast.
Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan.
Wrong show, wrong channel, bitch. Welcome to the Nerdy Nomicon. I'm Robbie.
And welcome to Synthaholics. This is David. This is a dual release episode.
Yeah, it is. That was a little bit discombobulating for our listeners, I have no doubt. But you know what? I'm cool with it.
Yeah, it's a dual release. So you're getting the exact same show on both channels.
Exactly. That way you guys can see what David Duncan and the Synthaholics podcast is all about. He's been on the show before, and we've also had Aaron O'Brien over here. We miss Aaron very much.
Yeah, Aaron unfortunately hasn't had a chance to see what we're talking about today.
That's depressing. Very, very, very depressing. We miss you, Aaron, so much. I swear to God, I'm going to be masturbating later, but I will use my tears of sadness as lube. I promise.
Do you have his pictures pulled up?
Somewhere.
I hope so.
Somewhere. That poster right there.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Return to Snake Land.
Yeah. The Pentagram of the Snake. Yeah.
I can stare at that.
Just, like,
get
flip
the thrill
through the pages. Yeah. That'll be amazing. We love you, Aaron.
But the whole idea is this way you get to see what David Duncan and the Synthaholics podcast is all about. And obviously, if you're listening to me on the Nerdy Nomicon channel, you know what you're in for. And as always, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you've heard Robbie before. He's been on some of our past Star Wars episodes. You've heard him on the round tables. He should not be a disfamiliar voice to you.
And again, I'm sorry.
You should be. I started saying on our Prime Directive episodes, I started saying all over the face, neck, and chest to go kind of the Prime Directive. And that's all thanks to you. So,
yes,
like,
I'm aware of that. So, in that case, you're welcome.
So, Synthaholics listeners, I'm sorry. You can blame it on him.
I really don't have any news this week, but let's start out the nice, casual, humble way. How has your week been? How you been doing? I mean, we got to hang out a lot during Nickel City Con. The listeners heard a little bit about that as I pontificated for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we did have the Nickel City Con panel that was on our last episode.
Right, right.
That was good. It's just been recovery week from the con.
Yeah.
It's both depressing and extremely tiring to be at a con all weekend. It's like, you know, and then the depression makes you even more tired because it's like, oh, I just want to be with my friends.
Yeah, it's like an emotional come down. You're on such a high because you have to be. I mean, with what we do, we're performers. So, you know, both of us are rocking cameras. We had that panel where we essentially did a live Q&A for
other people interested in podcasting.
Right.
Yeah, it was fun. And then we both put out a cosplay video this week. So we both did some editing.
I capped out at about 22 hours of editing on that video.
I spent like mostly one day working on it, but yeah.
Yeah, yours was really, really good. Mine had a script and VO and black and white transitions and shit like that.
Mine was very simple.
I'm not saying that like it was a bad thing. Yours was happy and fun and whimsical and exactly the type of video that I was setting out to make and completely didn't make at
come to
all.
Me for whimsy, go to him for serious sad things.
It was supposed to be inspirational, not sad.
But it gets you in the feels. It's like, oh, this is not the uplifting thing. I mean, it's uplifting, but it's not like it's sad uplifting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't
heartfelt uplifting.
It wasn't like molesting your funny bone uplifting.
No,
it wasn't exactly like what we do for the most part on this podcast. It was much more deep dives.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was good though, and you know, we had our friend Jaylen, her interview was in there. She was super excited about seeing that.
Pepper Monster from Pepper Monster Cosplay.
Yes, And my friend Bonnie Moss, who's been on Synthaholics podcast several times, she's a big fan of Nimoy and a friend, a personal friend of Nimoy. She actually saw the video that Robbie put out. I don't know if you saw mine, but she saw Robbie's, and she loved it. And she said some really nice things, and was trying to get her friend who had the same issue that Robbie was talking about to watch it. So hopefully you'll get some feedback on that soon if you haven't already by the time this comes out.
I'm going to be honest with you, completely, completely honest. That actually kind of brought tears to my eyes because that's exactly what I was hoping to do with that video.
I love you, Bonnie Moss.
I really was just trying to make people smile, maybe not with the laughter the way I usually do, but, you know, try to at least help one
make their
person.
Heart smile.
Yes, exactly. You know, and obviously cosplay means a lot of things to a lot of people. And I already came to the decision I want to make a video like this, not exactly like that, but a cosplay video for every con that we go to. Because it means a lot of things to a lot of people, and I think that there's a lot of different types of videos you can do out there.
Absolutely.
And I think so many of these costumes...
Mine's a stereotypical happy music and people thing. It's
well, yeah, but yeah. It was still fun and whimsical. It's the type of video people expect when they look for cosplay video, and trust me, you did not disappoint. I mean, awesome. The shots that you got were fantastic.
I mean, love my 3-axis gimbal. Yes.
But
he's got some of the shots in his video, too, so that's,
yes,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I even gave you a credit slate on that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I spent so much time on so many of these interviews that didn't go the way I thought it would, and you got so many action shots. I'm like, hey, can I use some of your content?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I even have ideas in my head about other types of cosplay videos that I want to make, and if any of them are like the next one or the last one we just did, yeah, none of those ideas are ever going to fucking happen. Somebody's always going to, like, pull on my heartstrings or tell me a cool story, and I'm like, that's it! That's what I'm doing!
Or you could just do two.
I spent 22 fucking hours on that video, dude.
So? You owe it to your people.
I could do two. That or I could just go to more cons. One or the other.
Absolutely.
But, no, you hit the nail right on the head, even for me, too. It was a fun week. We had a long weekend. But... to a degree, a bit depressing because, yeah, just like you, I want to be with my friends. I've got my baby. I got my wife. I want to be with my friends now.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, I also just moved, so it was also extra emotional for me.
Yeah, true.
So all the other stuff happened in my life. So, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. It was a tough week.
Yeah, homeboy is a hurricane right now.
Yes.
Papa is a rolling stone.
Rolling.
And I don't mean that figuratively.
I'm not Mick Jagger.
But, what do you think? I'm pretty sure because it's you and because it's me and because both of us pontificate out the fucking nose, I think we should get down to the subject at hand.
Solo!
Yes. Disney made a move this year that I personally disagree with on most points, but on one point I kind of sort of agree with, and I'll get to that later. They released their second Star Wars movie in 1 year, within a 6-month period. Actually, I'll touch on this right now on why I think it was possibly a good idea. I'm terrified of Star Wars fatigue. I'm terrified with the prospect of a movie coming out every single year. I think that is too many for this particular franchise.
It's too many for Disney because they don't know how to make a good Star Wars movie. If they could make them good, I wouldn't mind them every year.
We'll get to that later. Let me finish my thought here.
If you have to.
This is one thing Duncan and I disagree on most things. We love everything the same, but we disagree on almost everything.
Yes.
Here's the thing about two of them coming out. It's going to force Disney, unless they've got an ace up their sleeve that they're not talking about. It's going to force them to – yeah, force. Didn't even mean it, but fair enough. It's going to force them to wait at least a year to a year and a half, possibly longer, before they release another Star Wars movie. And I think that is a very, very good thing. I think you need a little bit of a break in between these movies just to keep the ideas fresh. If you want to start cranking them out every single year like Harry Potter ended up as, you need to figure out a new type of trilogy, not the core trilogy that we have right now, but, oh, I don't know. Maybe
they need
give
to figure out the core trilogy. Because
the Knights of the Old Republic. Shut up, Duncan. We'll fucking get to that eventually. I'm fucking sure of it. Shut up for now. Give us something like the Knights of the Old Republic, because I'm – have you played it?
I played the MMO Old Republic.
Right. With the content and the characters and the stories and, you know, tying in the side quests, everything that you love, and not to mention the fact that I personally would like them to change a few things just to make it their own, because I know all the twists and turns. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be at least a little bit surprised. I don't think there's a trilogy there. I think that there's at least two trilogies to three trilogies as far as the Knights of the Old Republic. If they really dig deep and go about it in a decent way.
Maybe that's what the Game of Thrones people are working on. Because the Game of Thrones people, I mean, it's not.
And I would be so fine with that.
They say it's not a trilogy that the Game of Thrones people are working on. That the two showrunners,
mm-hmm.
It's not a trilogy. It's a
D.B. Weiss. David Benioff.
They say it's a series of undetermined length.
Maybe that's our Knights of the Old Republic.
Maybe.
Now, I do know that a lot of people, a lot of fans of Star Wars that I've talked to on Facebook and on Twitter are not down with an idea of like a darker Star Wars, like an R-rated Star Wars
I
movie.
Need some R-rated Star Wars in my life. George Lucas was actually working on a live-action show before he sold to Disney. And he kept saying he couldn't do it because it was going to be too expensive, but he kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And he said it was going to be Sopranos meets Deadwood. So that sounded like a very R-rated, R-rated Star Wars. And I need some adult Star Wars in my life. Maybe we can get some more mature stories and maybe some plot twists and not cater to the lowest common denominator. Because there's enough.
Actually, the opposite of what I think they're doing. But
there's enough Star Wars fans out there that you can start appealing to not just kids.
Yes.
I agree. You're granted, a lot of Star Wars fan base is kids, but I mean, a lot of Star Wars fan base is people our age and older who grew up with it
right. In
the 70s. Right. Like, cater to us, please.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people think that it's going to assassinate Star Wars by catering to older people. No,
I totally disagree.
Just split it. Like, make kids centric Star Wars and adults. I mean, it's a universe. You can do whatever you want.
You don't even have to split it. I mean, they didn't exactly split anything when they made Logan.
No.
They didn't split anything when they made Logan. And to me, Logan is in contention in my head, depending on the day, the best X-Men superhero movie ever made.
But I feel like Logan's sort of kind of its own thing. It's a standalone. It doesn't even really necessarily connect to any of the other ones.
It doesn't necessarily have to, but it does. Yeah. It does tie into the Days of Future Past continuity. It does. It doesn't have to.
Sure.
The scriptwriter even said it takes place in that continuity. It doesn't have to because it stands on its own. It holds its own weight, but it does exist in that continuity.
Sure, but I mean, it seems that we're at some point it doesn't have to. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would have to.
Right, right. And you can do that with Knights of the Old Republic. You go back far enough, you've got this deep...
Well, because the technology in Star Wars doesn't change.
Sweeping story that does not center around Anakin, Luke, and company. You know what I mean? You don't have to shoe in R2-D2 and C-fucking-3PO in absolutely everything. You just don't have to. And I'm pretty sure they even had a cameo in Solo. But I think I saw them in a corner.
Maybe.
Mm. But that's beside the point. Let's talk a little bit about Solo before you decide that you want to pull the reins over to the new trilogy. Let's talk about Solo first.
It was the first Disney Star Wars movie I didn't absolutely despise.
That's high praise from you. Every single conversation we had for months either started or ended with how much you hated The Last Jedi.
Oh, and before that, Rogue One.
Before that, it was Rogue One. You had about a month where you didn't bring it up. There was about a cold month.
Sure.
But, yeah, you're right about that. So you didn't absolutely hate this movie.
It had no expectations for me to shatter. They did a good job with it. They didn't... I had no expectation. I didn't even want a Han Solo movie. That's part of
it. I didn't
even want a Han Solo movie. So,
not at all.
So the fact that this didn't, like, you know, play with my expectations at all was fantastic. I mean, you know, there was the Sabacc. Oh, by the way, spoilers.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be deep spoilers. Deep here.
You know, the old lore says...
Going past just the tip.
Yeah. Full penetration. You know, the Sabacc game where Han wins the Falcon, we get that. You know, right. Chewie was a slave. We didn't get the life debt per se. And he was like almost worse than a slave. He was like a pit animal.
Yeah.
They threw deserters to.
He was essentially a furry Sarlacc to a degree.
Yeah, it wasn't even really
as far as like his functionality.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was a regular slave like he was. Like, it just seemed like he was a trapped animal instead of like a slave. So, like, that's a little bit different. I'm like, it's close enough. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I mean, to their credit, we don't know if he was down there 24/7. You know, maybe they had him out like working slave labor and then kept him down there
sure.
for their own
yeah.
entertainment. So, I mean, there was a lot that could have been expanded on there. It's not enough for me to harp on. And the life debt.
It never came up.
It never came up.
And I wish they'd have translated all the Wookiee the entire time, because this is the first movie where we got Wookiee translation.
Yes.
And then they only did like two sentences of it, and then it went back to no translation.
And it was always
no
Han saying it.
I was just like,
it was always Han's speech. It was never Chewbacca's.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, come on. I'm like, translate the speech, please. I want to know what they're saying.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, I remember seeing some old footage of Empire Strikes Back where before they dubbed over, and like, he's got actual lines. Like, he says lines to Han Solo for Han Solo to respond to. And then they just dub it all over with like the noises. I want to see an uncut Star Wars trilogy where like it's just Peter Mayhew's like British voice yelling lines from Chewbacca. That would be amazing.
Or you know what? Now that Disney owns Star Wars, why don't they just re-release the original series on Blu-ray, make Han shoot first, and give us the Wookiee translations?
Yes.
I don't want Chewbacca to sound and speak in English, but I do want some subtitles.
No, I just think,
tell us what's in the script.
I just think it would be hilarious to listen to Peter Mayhew the entire time.
Give me that as a
bonus track. Feature.
Yes.
Yes.
A commentary track, if you will.
Just like Chewbacca real voice dub or Chewbacca English voice dub. That'd be fantastic.
Dude, that would be amazing.
I would
spend so many dollars on that.
I would watch that.
Oh, fuck yes. I would own that. I would put it right over there. I'd love it.
So, you know, the casting was fine. I didn't hate anyone. I didn't hate anyone's performances, really. It was a fun heist movie. I've got a couple nitpicks we can get to later, because I will nitpick things. But I mean, like I said, it's the first one I didn't hate because it didn't destroy my expectations. It didn't assassinate characters or establish storyline. It kind of kept with the little we knew of Han Solo lore.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, they did the 12 parsec thing, and they made that make sense.
I rounded down.
Yeah. So they made that make sense because it was a weird passageway to get there. So it's not really speed. It's just, we cut corners.
Exactly.
So that's not even impressive.
Right,
I mean, it sort of is, but not really. What about you? What are your thoughts on Solo?
You said we're going to get into the details and our finer points in discussion after the initial?
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it. I really, really liked it. I did not love it at all, but I did like it. There were a lot of issues that I had with it.
Really? I'm fascinated.
I will say this is the absolute best sequel to Serenity I think they ever could have given us.
No.
Because this felt like a Firefly episode. It did not feel like anything Star Wars to me. And that is not to take away from anything, because I love both.
Well, speaking of that, I wish Joss Whedon would have directed it, so it would have felt more like Serenity.
And it did.
And it would have felt...
It already did.
Well, I mean, it's literally the train job, the second episode of Firefly.
That's exactly right.
So, I mean,
the first half of the movie was, yes.
Yeah, it was the train job. So, I mean, it was very similar. So, I mean,
you even had the brown coat.
Yes.
You had the lovable rapscallion Malcolm Reynolds, played by Han Solo, played by some other dude with coughing in his name.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think we'll get to nitpick later, I guess, but part of my problem is, like, even in episode seven, like, Han Solo stopped being Han Solo. He's more Malcolm Reynolds now.
I didn't see that.
Where he never actually successfully completes a job. And he still doesn't actually successfully complete a job in this movie. I'm wondering if there's going to be a Han Solo 2 and 3. Does he ever successfully...
I don't want that.
Does he ever successfully complete a job? Because, I mean, so far, we've never seen him successfully complete a job ever.
That's fair. That's fair.
And so, like, you know, like... In the original trilogy, Haley is the one thing. But then we see episode 7, he's like triple-crossed 3 people and didn't do the job for any of them. Mm. He fails at the job in this movie. And they're making him like Malcolm Reynolds. Like, Malcolm Reynolds never actually successfully completed the job.
I think you're pretty much accurate on that.
So I mean they're making him
on screen.
They're making him like the lovable rogue where he's always failing, but you know he's trying to do the right thing.
Right.
Or it's almost, I don't know. I mean, to me, he feels more like Malcolm than he does like Han Solo now. Like Han Solo isn't even Han Solo anymore to me.
I'm I'm not going to pretend that I don't see your point there. He still definitely feels like Han Solo to me. I can't even say that I disagree with you because I get it. I think that what you're saying really comes down to personal feelings. And I still, Han Solo was always that much of a lovable rogue to me growing up. I cannot say that I disagree or that you're wrong, but he still feels like Han Solo to me. He just feels like Grandpa Solo.
I just feel like he's edging
like a different version of Han Solo. But I mean, what else can you expect when age comes down the pipe?
But sure, you know? but it's just, you know, if Firefly wasn't a thing, like I wouldn't have that comparison. But like,
we
had was the original trilogy, and then I had Firefly. And then we had, you know, episode 7 and now Han Solo. And now, because I've got this Malcolm Reynolds and he's one of my favorite characters of science fiction of all time.
Fair.
I compare that to him instead of the original Solo.
And that's totally fair. And like I said, I can't even disagree with you or say that you're wrong. I think that one comes down to personal feelings and what you see in the characters.
And if you've seen Firefly or not.
And if you've seen Firefly, yeah. Because the comparisons are there. I mean, they're surface level. You don't even have to dig for them.
No, not at all.
But anyway, going back to my feelings on the movie, we can wrap this up, and then we can jump into the like nitpicks and the huge successes.
Yeah.
I definitely liked it. I absolutely did not love it. I feel like the visuals alone warrant seeing this movie in the theater or at the drive-in. I love the drive-in during the summertime. That's why I'm always going there as many weekends as I can. I feel like the visuals and the cinematography warrant that kind of prestige for the movie, at least for a first viewing. But I don't feel like this movie has that must-see moment like most Marvel movies do, like most Star Wars movies do. Love it or hate Rogue One or love or hate The Last Jedi, they still had that moment that warranted, I have to be a part of this culture right now so that I can weigh in. I don't feel like Solo has that. Well, I think it's worth it for the visuals and the cinematography.
I would agree with that. There is no must-see moment, but to me there wasn't any must-see moment in any of this Disney Star Wars movies.
I'm not talking about the moment in the movie. I'm talking about the moment in time. I'm talking about our moment.
Our
moment in pop culture. Our moment as a collective, you know, in the world.
I mean,
that's what I'm referring
to. Sure, because I mean, as far as I know, no one asks for a Han Solo movie. Like, I was way more excited about Rogue One than I was about Han Solo, and mm-hmm. I like Han Solo infinitely better than Rogue One. Rogue One pisses me off, makes me angry. I haven't even tried to watch it a second time because I just know it's going to make me angry.
Fair enough.
But Han Solo, I wouldn't mind. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing it again in the theater. Like, and it's fair. The first Star Wars movie I've wanted to see that I wouldn't mind seeing in the theater in a while.
When I'm talking moments, I'm talking about a great example, even though it's not a Star Wars movie, is Black Panther. That wasn't just a moment. That wasn't just a movie. That was a moment in time. That was a movement in time. What that movie did and what that movie became culturally, for the box office numbers, you know, for an entire group/race of people, you know. That is a moment in time. It became a phenomena. Just like every other Star Wars movie, good or bad for their moment, had. This movie does not have.
Well, this movie
is the biggest difference to me.
This movie's moment is boycott, get Kathleen Kennedy fired, which I would love to get Kathleen Kennedy fired. But I don't think boycotting the movie is going to do anything.
We can touch on that later. Boycotting the movie is not going to do a goddamn thing. We can touch on the Kathleen Kennedy of it all later, but
I mean the boycott. I mean, it's all over Facebook and people are complaining about it. You know, saying boycott it, don't boycott it. You're stupid for boycott. I don't think the boycott's doing anything. I think there was just no interest in Solo. Like, who asked for this? Why?
Precisely.
Why are they giving this to us? The Last Jedi was all about subverting your expectations and being like, forget the past. But Disney's reveling in past, like reveling in nostalgia with Han Solo and Boba Fett and a Yoda movie, maybe, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah. Like, I don't care. Give me new stories. Like,
yes.
Like,
need a Boba Fett movie, even though I love Boba Fett. You've seen me wear Boba Fett shirts, Boba Fett hats. I would love a set of Boba Fett armor. I love Boba Fett. I don't want a Boba Fett movie. I don't want a Yoda movie. I'm using this title just because I loved the book, the comic, and the game. I realize that I'm probably not going to get it, but give me Shadows of the Empire. Give me a standalone movie with a standalone plot that may or may not center around characters like Boba Fett. He may even be the lead, but I don't want Boba Fett the movie.
I love Shadows of the Empire.
I loved it too. And Boba Fett prominently in it, as well as IG-88, as well as Lebo, Dash Rendar, the Outrider ship. you can have all that while still telling a movie.
Leia in a see-through sheer outfit.
There you go.
Give me, please.
There you go. You can have all that, but you don't have to have Boba Fett, a Star Wars movie. I don't want that. I want Shadows of the Empire or The Darkness of the Moon or Dark Side or Vent Looks White but Awesome. You know,
well, you know, I feel like the spinoff movies.
Rogue One was a decent title. Okay. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the title, which sets up the premise. It gives you an expectation. Han Solo, the movie, is a character-based title. Yeah. You know what you're getting going in. I'm not talking about the movie of Rogue One, what we ended up getting, because I know that you and I have wildly different opinions on that. I'm talking about the title.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the setup, the premise.
Yeah.
That's more of what I want. But even throw it further than just Rogue One. Give me an actual title, like the title of a sweeping arc in some of the graphic novels, like Shadows of the Empire, something like that. Centered around these characters if you want to or if you have to. Don't make them character-centric. I think that that is a horrible decision.
Sure, I agree with that, although I wouldn't mind a Binks.
All right, I'd pay
Misa need my own movies.
I would pay tens of cents for that
tens
movie.
Tens of cents, yes, all the tens of cents.
Unless
I want to see the Darth Jar Jar.
Yes,
I want to see the Darth Binks movie that never got made. But
so let's dive into some nitpicks here, because God knows I have got a lot of them, and I think that this movie did have some virtues, but I do have one big gripe and complaint on why this did not feel like a Star Wars movie to me.
So my nitpicks are really weird. Like,
have at it.
So when they go to Kessel and they all get out, what's his name? Woody Harrelson's character is wearing the same outfit that Lando wore in Return of the Jedi. So you're telling me this
holy shit.
So you're saying this outfit has been on the Millennium Falcon for like 20 or 30 years?
Well, why not?
Just sitting there. I mean, but it's gone through.
Throw away a good suit. My dad still has his disco suit.
But it's past. It's changed hands. It just Han Solo just keep it.
Why not?
I just feel like it was just weird that like that suit's been there for so long.
Dude, Macklemore wrote a whole song about shit like that. He just got some shit from the thrift shop.
I don't know.
And a costume and some house slippers.
Yeah, I was just like, it's a callback, and I'm like, it's a callback that didn't. I feel like it didn't need to happen. Like, I didn't need.
I didn't
to see
even
that.
Notice that, to be honest with you. But yeah, that's a callback that didn't need to happen. I'm just making fun of it right now.
I didn't
now.
Need to see that outfit. I'm like, why? Why is this? Yeah. Why is this still here? Like, I figured Lando had to go out and buy that so he could fit in at Jabba, and that he's had that all along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm just.
We didn't need it.
I'm just going, yeah. And then, like, does Han Solo know that ship's a smuggling ship? Because like, no one told them about the floor plates. I mean. That's a specific line in A New Hope where they're talking about, you know, this is a smuggling, you know, I smuggle. But, like, Lando was outside the ship when they were pulling up the floors to hide the cargo. I'm like, really? There's no regular cargo bay in this thing? This is a freighter. It should have a regular cargo bay, not just the smuggling ones, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I'm just like, why are they using those? Like, it's stupid things. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't ruin the movie for me. The movie was perfectly okay.
It was perfectly watchable.
It was perfectly okay. It wasn't, you know, Darth Maul didn't need to be in it either. Like,
I thought that was amazing. That one, I came unassisted. I flipped for that. But I'm going to come back to that. That's a part of what I have to say.
And then, like, you know, we knew it was Darth Maul from looking at it, but then he, like, pulled his lights force and then turned it on the hologram. I'm like, really? Like, what's that going to do? Like,
oh, come on. That was badass. That is just nitpicky.
Like I said, like, my gripes about the movie are super nitpicky. They're not nothing huge. It was a perfectly okay movie to watch. It didn't make me angry. But I can find nitpicky things like, why is this there? Why is it there? Why did he have to pull his lightsaber and turn it on? Like, it's unnecessary. You're on a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're force projecting,
that's something different.
Yeah, that'd be fucking scary.
Yes.
But no. But he's not a hologram. He can't hurt. I mean, I guess he could force choke her or whatever. But I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It seemed unnecessary. And why throw Maul in that? He's already been killed in Rebels. I'm like, so I mean, I guess you know it takes place before Rebels this point. But I'm like, I don't know. Those are my main nitpicks. I can't even think of anything else that really bothered me.
Going back to that Darth Maul thing for me there for just a second, because that was one of those situations. That was one of those times where I sit there and I literally exclaimed, "Oh!" like out loud in the car. Brooke even looked over at me and started laughing, going, "Shh, I'm like, we're in a car. Yeah, but I swear to God, the other side of the drive-in just heard you. I loved seeing him. That made me so happy because I feel like he was such a badass character. He was so cool in Phantom Menace. One of the few redeeming parts of that movie. But
for people who don't follow the cartoons, they're going to be like, what the fuck? Didn't he die?
Yeah,
it's but really just...
I don't follow the cartoons, but I did know that he did live. I don't follow the cartoons of that. I'm only, like, comics, one novel since the Old Guard has been disbanded, and the movies. I'm not saying that I have anything wrong with the cartoons. I know enough about what's going on.
But you read up on them, yeah.
Yeah, I read up on them. I just haven't taken the time to watch them because, let's be honest, between the YouTube channel and between this podcast, I imbibe way too much pop culture as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I just simply have not had the time. So that was one of those moments where I was just like sitting there just screaming like, yes, oh my God, this is fucking awesome. They're bringing him back into the cinematic universe. They never should have killed him in the first place. Fuck you, Lucas. But that in itself is the problem that I had. Because Star Wars...
That means you need a Solo too if you're going to see...
No.
Yeah.
I don't need that. No, have him show up in a different movie at a different time. No more Solo.
Solo
you
too.
Had your Solo. You had your one Solo cup. No, it did not fill me up. No, don't party with Solo.
They're talking about making two more.
Fuck that. Fuck that. No.
Fuck Rian Johnson's trilogy because I hate Rian Johnson.
God damn you, Duncan. If you need to talk about it, we'll talk about it after fucking Solo.
It's all connected, man. It's one cinematic universe.
No, but that's the problem. That's actually what you just said is my problem. No, it's not. This movie did not feel that way to me. Star Wars, to me, is a series of moments. Good or bad, whether you love or hate the movie, it is a series of moments. I mean, you and I both agree to probably varying degrees on the original trilogy. We love those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Menace is, to me, a dumpster fire abortion of a movie, but you sit through the pod racing, you sit through the Jar Jar Binks of it all, and you get Duel of the Fates. You've got Attack of the Clones. You've got this weird noir detective thing that ends up with weird fish people and clones and a six-armed chicken. But at the end, you get a dusty background and like 50 lightsabers igniting. You get that epic battle at the end there. Revenge of the Sith even had a couple of those moments as well. Love or hate The Last Jedi, you've even admitted to me they had a couple of those moments where it just gave you a bit of a chill and then hatred overwashed you and you became a Sith Lord. This movie had no moment for me.
Well,
The only couple of moments it had were built on other things.
The moment was the Kessel Run.
That was not a moment to me.
But the thing is, it happened too soon in the movie. There was still like 45, like that should have been the climax of the film. But there's still like another 30 minutes or 40 minutes after the Kessel Run, which is why it didn't feel like the moment. Because I was like, oh wait, this is gonna be, and then it was like it's somewhere in the middle of the movie. And like your climax should not be in the middle of the film.
No,
like it was really, and that was the biggest scene. All the droids got liberated. They liberated some Wookiees. The whole Kessel scene. That was supposed to be the moment.
But if that's supposed to be the climax, that's supposed to be
But it was in the middle of the movie.
And it was an anticlimactic, sad come true.
Because we had like 40 minutes after the Kessel Run. It's just kind of like, why? Like that should have been the climax and it should have resolved real quick. But it
didn't even double down on it.
No.
You had that, but it felt fragmented and I did not find myself emotionally attached to that. Where I've been emotionally attached even to Phantom Menace. I'm sorry, but during that lightsaber battle with Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul...
It's only because the music was so good.
But the music was there, and the music draws you in. A good score can bring you right in. See Darth Maul pacing like a jungle cat. See Obi-Wan sitting there praying, just reserving his energy, and Obi-Wan just not knowing what the fuck to do. Boom, the barriers go up, and the fight's right back on, and everybody springs into action. Not to mention the other congruent battles taking place at the same time. That was the Phantom Menace to me. And when I try to find the positives, which you know me, I try to be walking positivity. I like to light a candle. That is the Phantom Menace that I hold on to, not the rest of the movie, which is a dumpster fire with coming from the boss Nass. Solo did not have any of its own. Everything that made me shout out, oh, or made me feel amazing was something based or built from somewhere else. Well, it didn't have its own identity.
So other than the nitpicky things, my biggest issue with Solo is that it has got pacing issues.
Yes, it does.
It feels like a long movie.
Yes.
Whereas like Avengers was a long movie, and I've seen it. And I've seen it twice, and it felt like it was quick.
I've seen Black Panther 3 times now. The first 20 minutes feel like a half hour. The rest of the movie feels like 10 minutes.
No, Black Panther
had that slow pace at the beginning for me, which I was fine with, but the rest of it, oh my God, it was a dead sprint for me.
No, Black Panther was like Solo. It dragged.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, to me, Solo is very similar to Black Panther. And
I also have a thing for Michael B. Jordan. So
Michael B. Jordan's good until he killed Smeagol.
He should kill more Smeagols if that's what has to happen.
No! Smeagol was my favorite character. They killed him.
No wonder you hate The Last Jedi.
Exactly.
But aside from that, I thought that the casting of Emilia Clarke as
Kira. I'm annoyed they spelled it the Klingon way with a Q-I-apostrophe R-A. I'm like, why?
Come on. That's a nitpick.
That's a Klingon way of spelling it.
That's a nitpick right there. I didn't really have a problem with Emilia Clarke, but I had a problem with the writing of her character. And if you want to try to have a character that's so blandly written, you need a more dynamic person. Like Brooke even said, Karen Gillan from Doctor Who and Oculus, and she plays Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah.
She could bring a lot more to the very bland, very stagnant writing of that character. Get someone like her. Don't get Emilia Clarke. I feel like she's good as Daenerys Targaryen.
She's too regal. She's too regal for that part.
Perfect word. Yes. She's way too regal for that part.
To be a street rat.
Yes.
She's too regal. I mean, it's also supposed to be like
Aladdin-esque.
It's very Aladdin-esque. So they were both Aladdin.
Right.
Well, I guess she does kind of become the princess, sort of, but
to a degree,
princess.
But like concubine princess, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
From like, that's just it.
She has sexual vision a lot.
It didn't really get explained exactly what was up with her,
like why she was so. They kept saying, "Oh, if you knew, you wouldn't look at her the same way." Like,
so, and the audience, I wish they would have. You fucking tell
clue us in a little bit. Like, what did she do that was so bad?
Right.
Did she do the Eiffel Tower with him and Darth Maul?
Right, exactly. Maybe Han doesn't need to know, but we're the audience. If you want us to be emotionally invested, don't you think maybe we should know? But even all of that is surface level. The deeper tissue of that is you could even get away with not explaining all that stuff and just leaving it up to our imagination, which I'm sure probably was the concept of that writing.
Sure.
But if you're going to do that, you need a better actress than what you've got. It's just a fact of the matter. And I don't think Emilia Clarke really brought it. And again, it's nothing against her as an actress. I just don't think she was the type of actress to bring what they would have required for that role.
A nitpicky thing where he meets her and they're talking real serious. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to the trailer where she's like, oh, it's nice to see. Like, it's like, whoa, that made me weird. I was like,
yeah, that was kind of weird.
There was no transition. It just all of a sudden went from their bantering about like, and then she's like, oh, you look nice. And I was like, what? Where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd already, like, met and started talking. It felt weird because that was, like, right out of the trailer. But, like, you know, so you'd figure that's kind of where it started. But it just felt weird.
One other thing was Donald Glover. And this pains me to say it because I love Donald Glover. I think that guy is a fucking comedic and lyrical genius. I follow his career. Donald Glover is amazing. However, he did a great portrayal of Billy Dee Williams. He did not do a great Lando. He did Billy Dee Williams Colt 45 commercials and above. He did Billy Dee Williams now. I did not see Lando. I saw Billy Dee. And I almost have to wonder if that was directing choice or if that's just what he was going for. But I mean, correct me if you saw differently. Did you see Lando or did you see Billy Dee?
I don't see a difference between Lando and Billy Dee personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Watch the last half hour of The Empire Strikes Back again, immediately stop it and turn on a trailer for Colt 45 with Billy Dee Williams. You will see a difference.
Okay, yeah, because
one of them is Lando trying to be, you know, full of gravitas, full of swagger, and the next is, I'm Billy Dee, and this is Colt 45. It's there. It's very, very, very much there.
The only thing I know Billy Dee is from this, so, yeah, So to me, I didn't see a difference. I didn't notice.
Okay, that's fair enough. So maybe that was just a nitpick that I had. Also, because I like Billy Dee Williams, I really do. But Billy Dee Williams has become a caricature of himself, much the same as like Robert Downey Jr.,
William Shatner,
absolutely William Shatner, Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson. I wanted to call him Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is just a caricature of Nicolas Cage in every way. But then again, if I spoke in different volumes for like 30 years, I'd win an Academy Award too. But, you know, all of these people that I'm listing here, they've become caricatures of themselves. Denzel Washington's on his way. They stop playing characters. They stop being characters and they just start being them. Lori Petty. Yeah. You don't hire Al Pacino to be Michael Corleone or to play Scarface. You don't do that anymore. You get Al Pacino because Al Pacino plays Al Pacino and Al Pacino is what you need in the movie.
Yeah.
You need Mr. Hua. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need an amazing, brilliant actor to bring a performance that's just going to bring the house down. You want that? You get Daniel Day-Lewis. You get so many people now, honestly. You don't get Al Pacino. You get Al Pacino because you want Al Pacino. You get what you're buying.
You
know what I mean? Billy Dee Williams is like that now. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, what we got. So.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I really want to see the Lord and Miller version of this movie. This movie is a movie that desperately needed to be a comedy, and it wasn't as funny.
Have reveled in the silliness.
Because this is what Star Wars should be. Okay, look, you've got your titled movies, your numbered movies. This is the Skywalker saga. Keep it the Skywalker saga. And then you do your spinoff movies to experiment. You do a comedy. Maybe do a romantic comedy. Do a Star Wars horror movie.
You have a whole universe to play with.
Exactly.
Why not?
Stop doing these stupid Han Solo or Boba Fett or Obi Wan. I don't care.
Give us a time frame. If you have to, keep it in that core time frame, but don't use the characters we know.
Like, just give us, you could do anything. You could do a Star Wars romantic comedy. You could do a Star Wars, you know, horror film. You could do a Star Wars action film. Yes. You could do a Star Wars noir film. You could do anything.
Give us a fucking Star Wars noir film set on Coruscant during the time of The Empire Strikes Back. Give us that. Give us no known characters, just a location. Build your story for
you. You can always have Dexter Jexter show up.
You could.
You could go eat at the diner of Dexter Jexter and watch his other hands pull his pants up a couple times in the scene.
Yes, that could happen.
Use the spinoff films to experiment with different genres of Star Wars film. Mm-hmm. Not every Star Wars film needs to be a Star Wars film. As long as it's set in the universe, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
You've got a universe. Play with it. Use it.
Yeah.
Like a crime syndicate movie. Star Wars sitting around the huts or something. I mean,
you've already got your building blocks for that right now with Solo.
So much stuff.
Stop. If you need to continue on from here, because I have a feeling that we're still going to be seeing some Daenerys Targaryen action flying around in the Star Wars times. Stop with the fucking Solo. If you want to do that character and you want to continue with that, which I guess I'm fine with, make that crime syndicate movie. You have the building blocks now.
The Hutts.
Use the Red Dawn.
I want to see you
tie in with the Hutts.
Now Shada, the Hutt homeworld.
That can tie in with your bounty hunters. That's how you have your quote-unquote Boba Fett movie. You set it with the Red Dawn. Like Red Dawn, a Star Wars movie. That's how you bring in your IG-88. That's how you have your Boba Fett movie. You have your crime syndicate movie there.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Enough with the Solo. You gave us one, you know, fool us one with a Solo, shame on me. Fool us twice with a Solo, three times if what you're saying is accurate, which I hope it's not, shame on you, and shame on you twice at that point. But that's how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the they said experiment with that. I hope they can. I know they're not going to, but I'd love to see a Lord and Miller cut of Solo.
That would be brilliant.
Because they said it was like 97% done. So I mean, just use their takes with the special effects. I want to see a funnier movie, and I wish they would have brought in like since you compared this movie to Firefly earlier. I really wish they would have brought in Joss Whedon.
I feel like that would have looked good. I mean.
I know Joss Whedon's in controversy now with cheating on his wife and all that stuff going on.
True,
so, I mean, it's
true. But, I mean, let's take a look at Justice League with that, because I still have a lot to say about Justice League. As a matter of fact, Chris Chavez from Hardly Awesome Podcast is going to be coming on. We got a really awesome listener question that I want to play on air, and I really want to sit down with Chris and dissect Justice League in comparison to Infinity War, as well as The Mummy, which came out last year.
Can I come on for that? That sounds fun.
Okay, fair enough. I don't think either of us would have a problem with that. That episode will undoubtedly go very fucking long, but regardless, yeah, I'm fine with that. But my point is, you saw the differences between Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder as far as what their vision of Justice League was. I mean, you don't have to look hard. You could see the Joss influence right there, and you could see the Snyder influence right there. They didn't really match or marry well together. Lord and Miller with Joss Whedon, on the other hand? Dude, that's a cocktail just made for consumption right there. What I will praise them for is I did not see the Ron Howard seams of this movie. Everything felt relatively consistent. I didn't see the seams. I'm not to say that they weren't there, but I didn't see them.
Well,
the one been the perfect cocktail.
The one that was there was Terrence Howard, and I gotta love Terrence Howard cameos.
Yes,
because
yes.
He also had the cameo at the last episode of Star Trek Discovery too.
I
love when Terrence Howard makes a cameo.
Fair,
he's
I
always
was talking
great.
About narratively, film wise.
Well, no,
yes,
I mean
you're right.
Ron Howard was brought in just to shoot the script, and that's what he did. He shot the script, so there was no flair to the film. It was very a by the numbers thing, because
it was outstanding.
Sure, but I mean, like that's all special effects. That's all post. It has nothing to do with anything he did with the camera.
Well, the practical effects were also quite good.
Sure, but I mean, I'm just saying. Like from a cinematic thing, he shot the movie.
Yes,
but the because of all the backlash from Kathleen Kennedy and the writer and getting rid of Lord Miller.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything fancy. He just got the script and shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, that's probably all he did. He didn't probably put anything creative into it. He's, you know, he's under a time crunch to get the movie done.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it was very static, almost, film.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to have any kind of flair to it. It was just very by the numbers. It wasn't overly exciting or overly boring. It was just solidly okay.
Right.
And it just, I don't know, it just didn't have any...
Yeah, it didn't have any signature to it. It just had, this is a movie, this is what we have. It didn't have his particular signature to it. It didn't have that piece of the movie that says, I am.
Yeah, because, I mean, if this was directed by Ron Howard, I expected it to be like a little bit more epic.
Yes.
Because Ron Howard
does exactly what I mean.
Epic storytelling, and it didn't.
Yes,
this had no... It was a job.
Hell, Ron Howard has epic storytelling even in Arrested Development.
Yes!
And...
I wish he would narrate... I wish he would have narrated Han Solo. That would have been great. That would have been fantastic. I just want him to narrate it.
This is a smuggler that is in constant Arrested Development.
Well, it's like... whenever he's like, oh, I don't care what you did. He would he would have cared. It would have been great. You know,
I could just see Solo standing there. I made a huge mistake.
He did.
My favorite narration for
Han shot first.
Yes.
He shoots Woody Harrelson first.
My favorite narration from Arrested Development. I love that. What's that from? It was from nothing.
Oh, man.
Brooke and I still do that to each other every once in a while, like to this day. I'll like do a spin move or something like that. We love that. What's that from? It was from nothing.
From nothing. Oh, man. I hope there's a commentary track on Solo. I will buy that if there's a Ron Howard narration of
Solo. I'm going to end up buying it regardless. However, yes, I want a Ron Howard commentary track.
I will instantly hear him narrate that. I will instantly buy that if he does a narration track for it.
Absolutely.
I haven't bought Rogue One or Episode 8 or 7. I don't even think I bought Episode 7.
I own them all on Blu-ray. If for no other reason than Sinful Analysis is a thing, I'm finishing up with my fourth script, and then I'm going to start actually producing these episodes and dropping them down. And I'm also teaming up with Mikey Newman on one of the episodes.
Ooh. So,
but I'm not sure when. I am going to put it up for vote on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, and on the YouTube channel itself. I am going to put them up for a vote just to see... I'm going to have people just kind of decide which one they want to come out next. And the whole reason, like I said, I think last episode, is I wanted to get these scripts done. That way I can keep up with an every 2 week release schedule. And what I found with Star Trek Discovery, seeing as though CBS likes to ban content, as well as it taking so long, more things kind of dawned on me. I want the time to get the script done and then be able to produce it and throw it out there. You know what I mean? So when it goes up for vote, I know what I want to say. This video, you guys want that. This is what's happening to you. And I have a lot to say about actually all three of those Star Wars movies. But I'm probably not going to start out there. I'm going to start fun and whimsical by doing a religious movie.
Oh, yes.
Like Dogma.
The Passion of the Christ.
Fuck that. I said a religious movie, not a 3-hour snuff film. No, Dogma. I personally think, and I'm going to say it here, and then I'll also say it on YouTube, I think Dogma is the best religious coming to Jesus movie ever made. Period. Full stop. Fuck you, PureFlix. You guys have nothing. It was Dogma. The film that got Kevin Smith excommunicated from the Catholic Church is the best religious movie ever made. But we're talking about Star Trek, or Star Wars. Anyway, so if you had to rank this movie out 1 to 10 blasters.
I'll give it 7.5. That feels good. I gave Episode 8 2.5 back, or just 2 back in the day.
Yeah, I don't even think you were nice enough to give it that half. 7.5 feels good. I think that this movie is good. I think it's a totally watchable movie. It did not feel like a Star Wars movie per se to me. And
it didn't need to. It's a spinoff.
Yes, but...
That's what we were saying. It needs to be different.
Yes, but it's centered around a couple of core characters. Mm. If you're going to do that, you need to feel like these core characters, which it didn't to me. With the exception of Chewbacca. Chewbacca was great. I have zero issue with Chewbacca. He looked great. He felt great.
Oh, like seeing him fight was the best. I've been dying to see a Wookiee rip arms and legs off. I've been dying to see a Wookiee fight. So we did get to see Wookiee rage.
Let the Wookiee win.
We saw Wookiee rage in this film, which is fantastic. We finally saw Chewbacca fight like with his bare hands, and that was great.
Yes, it was. Chewbacca, I can say nothing negative about. Everything that I saw of Chewbacca, I wanted to see. The only negative I have is more of that, less of everything else that we got, with the exception of Darth Maul. More Chewbacca. Yeah. That is not to say I wanted Chewbacca, a Star Wars movie.
Chewbacca.
Don't do that.
Chewbacca and Binks.
If you have to have Chewbacca in the title, do Death of Chewbacca. Okay, that was a good book. That was a really good book.
Yeah, but they can't do it now because Han Solo's already dead.
Precisely. He hugs
the moon.
He can't even do the end of Boba Fett's storyline, which I read in Tales of the Bounty Hunters, which is where they walk across, they see each other on the street, on Tatooine, they both pull their guns, they both stare at each other for a moment, holster their guns, nod, and turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over.
Game over, man.
Now I'm sad. He's dead.
Yeah, poor Boba Pax. Rest in peace.
Hells yeah. So, yeah, 7.5 feels good for me.
Yeah, it's a perfectly okay film.
Yes, it is. Totally watchable. Totally watchable.
And it's sad. It's so just okay. There's not a lot to say about it. I mean, you had more nitpicks than I did. And my nitpicks were really tiny. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
I realize. Your nitpicks
were like super superficial.
It's really weird because some of your nitpicks are like you had... In my opinion, greater nitpicks in this movie than you had with Rogue One, and those nitpicks with Rogue One was like, nah, messes up the canon. I'm like, because he didn't see that over there? But yeah, it is kind of weird how I had more nitpicks, but that's, I feel a lot like the night that I reviewed BVS, despite the fact that that was also the night that I told the story of the birth of my kid. I liked it. In this case, not even in spite of itself. It didn't feel like this movie was trying to make me hate it. But yeah, I mean, I said a lot of negative, but I feel like everything that I said to me was all of the negative. Everything else, even if I didn't mention it, I enjoyed. I mean, it was a fun movie. I had a great night. Even me saying that it was the best sequel to Serenity we could have ever hoped for is not even necessarily being a negative, because I love Serenity, and it felt like Serenity as opposed to Star Wars to me, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. It was escapism. It was fun. It was whimsical. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know? I also don't think out of any of the Star Wars movies that have come out in the New Guard, including Rogue One, 8, and 7, this is the only movie, at least on first viewing, that I don't see more beneath the surface that I feel like I need to, that it warrants multiple viewings to be able to extrapolate my thoughts.
I don't think it requires, but I didn't think any of the other ones needed multiple viewings.
Well,
to
me, there was a lot more than meets the eye with those other movies. And I know that you and I disagree.
Teach their own, but I mean, like, yeah, I was just like, nah.
I know that you and I disagree on that. And to be honest with you, I think I could monologue for 45 minutes and use visual aids. And I honestly don't think I'll ever change your mind. And that's fine. I mean, I'm not out to change anybody's minds.
I just want to know why people, I'm not trying to change. I'm just trying to present my case in the way I see things. I like to know why people don't like it. I mean, like at Nickel City Con, I spoke with I think it's Jason, his name was, but he was a big fan of Voyager, and he hated Deep Space Nine. I love Deep Space Nine and don't really care for Voyager. But like, I just love when people love something that I hate, because I'm like, oh, why?
Right.
What makes you love that? And, you know, it was his first Star Trek. And I'm like, well, right. I mean, everyone remembers their first.
Or reverse it. Why people hate something that you so deeply love.
Yeah.
You know, you want to know, well, what is it about this that makes you despise it? And to me, it's also kind of interesting how some of the things that you hate about something or they hate about something, you may think are some of the more cleverest things going on with it. And to me, a lot of that happened with The Last Jedi, with a lot of the backlash that I saw. One thing I do want to talk about is the backlash that's happening right now about Kathleen Kennedy. Because you brought that up. How are you feeling about that? This whole removing her from her station.
Get rid of her now.
Why?
Like 6 movies ago.
Why?
I feel like she is, she's not Kevin Feige. She doesn't have a long-term plan. Her only plan is to make lots of money and fuck story. No, it's clear. Like, there have been so many.
I disagree on
no,
that.
No, it's not. There's no.
Continue. Don't get defensive. Continue your thought, and then we'll discuss
it. I'm just saying there's no. I mean, the Star Wars under Disney is a clusterfuck. Like, it's not even, they're not even subtle about it, because they, like, there's stories that there was no plan. The original story was that episode 7, JJ wrote that. He had no treatments or anything for 8 and 9. And then, and neither did Disney, neither did Kathleen Kennedy, neither did the board. There was no plan other than that we're going to do a numbered movie every other year and then a spinoff every other year. There was no plan. And then, you know, episode 8 comes out, Rian Johnson just butchers everything that, you know, JJ tried to set up in the first film. And then it feels like an end instead of a middle of a trilogy. It feels like I'm just sad. I don't even want to see episode 9 because it just feels like it's already over at the end of episode 8. And then we get, news that there was
a
treatment.
Then we call back to what I was just talking about too.
And then we get news that there was a treatment for episode 8, even though they had said there was none. So like, what is true? What is not true? Like, they're saying, you know, they say there was no treatments or no, you know, anything going forward. There was no plan, and they lots of articles came out and said that there was no plan for episode 8 and episode 9. And then Rian Johnson just threw from the hip, and she, you know, he. And then the episode 9 guy, he got fired, Colin Trevorrow, because he wanted to keep Luke alive. And Kathleen Kennedy was like, no, let Rian Johnson do everything he wants to do. There was, like, no collaboration. There's no synergy. And they're just doing whatever they want to do. And, like, fuck what comes next. Make someone else figure it out. And there's no plan. Kevin Feige had a plan. Like, they set up this Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I've liked the majority of the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. Some of them I didn't care for. Some of them I absolutely loved. And some of them were just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a plan, and it came to fruition in Infinity War, and it was amazing. It was one of my favorite movies in years.
Mm-hmm.
And in Star Wars, it's a big universe. This is something that should have a plan. Like, we need to do A, B, and C, maybe fill in some gaps later, outline, plan. You killed all the expanded universe, so you could start over. Start over with a plan. Don't shoot from the hip on a giant cinematic universe like this.
Mm-hmm.
And all the news we get is conflicting. So we don't know what is true in the Star Wars universe.
That I'll give you. Yeah.
So Kathleen Kennedy is doing a terrible job with the managing what Star Wars is. She just wants to make money. That's all I can see. I don't see her taking any care over what's, like I said, like, she hired Rian Johnson, who's like, new, get rid of the old. Well, Disney is still reveling in all the nostalgia shit. It's like if you're going to give us a message, stick to your message. It's aggravating on the meta level, and not many people watch stuff on the meta level, but I do, because mm-hmm. we're a content creator, and so do you.
I do.
We watch things on the meta level, and it just irks me that, like, there's no plan for Star Wars, and Star Wars desperately needs a plan. And that's why I think she's not Kevin Feige. She's not trying to craft a universe with care. She's just like, let people do whatever the fuck they want. And that makes me angry. And that's why I hated Episode 8. That's why I hated Rogue One. They didn't care about canon. They just kind of did what they want, and they just, like, it doesn't mesh as nicely. I mean, like, it doesn't mesh as nicely as it should.
Okay, my rebuttal to that, the first thing I'm going to say about this whole Kathleen Kennedy argument is, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Probably about two-thirds of what you just got done saying, I do agree with. Probably not to the demonstration that you had, but no, you bring up a lot of valid points, and I'll touch on those in a couple of seconds. The Kathleen Kennedy controversy that I'm seeing right now, I hear you, but I feel like personally the way that most of these people are going is fucking disgusting.
Well, sure, they're attacking her on the feminist ideals and stuff like
that. Thank you.
I don't care. I don't care about her agenda.
I'm not saying that because you didn't even bring it up once. I'm not attacking you on that.
I care about
to both
storytelling.
Of our fans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm simply putting that out there because you may care about the color of someone's skin, their sexual preference, their gender identity. But guess what? Most of us out there, and specifically Star Wars and, hell, Marvel, don't. They just don't. And that's the problem that I'm having with a lot of this shit, is because it's not only the feminist angle for a lot of these things, it's also the fact that she is a woman. And I'm not bringing this up just because, oh, you should give her a pass as far as being a woman or anything like that. I'm bringing that up because they bring that up. You wouldn't have heard any sort of gender conversation or pronoun in the argument if it was about Kevin Feige. And that's the issue that I have. On merit, sure. And a lot of what you said, and I'll touch on a couple of those things in just a second. Yeah, I get behind. I'm having a problem with this controversy because of the way it's being handled.
Oh, the controversy is being handled awfully. I mean, because it's very, very,
it's
very sexist.
Disgusting.
And very misogynistic.
Yes.
I mean,
we can disagree about the direction that things are going and stuff like that all we want, but do it with candor and class. There's no reason to get sexist and misogynistic.
I mean, I have no issue with her other than that she's taking Star Wars in a terrible place because she doesn't care about how it's going to play out in the long run.
That's jumping to conclusion.
Like I said, there's conflicting news on what is not
news.
About.
There's conflicting news, but some of that stuff might be, they're getting that stuff from PA and stuff like that. But
some of it was Simon Pegg, or some of it was from Daisy Ridley, themselves.
Yes.
We're getting, like, conflicting news on whether or not there was treatments or not, and whether what was thrown out or not. I'm like, why didn't they come up with a plan?
Part of that, I think part of that
Kevin
actually
Feige had
might,
a plan.
I think part of that actually might have come from JJ himself, JJ Mystery Box Abrams. Considering how much that mystery box kind of blew up in his face during Into Darkness, you know what I mean?
It blew up in episode 7 too.
How?
Because
how did anything blow up with mystery box with 7?
Because Rian Johnson just dead-ended it all.
I said 7. How did anything get messed up with 7?
By making it a mystery box, he fucked up. He let in Rian Johnson just destroy everything that he set up.
Okay, so that's more of the issue with episode 8.
Well, it's the issue with episode 7, because if you didn't fucking mystery box it in the first place, episode 8 wouldn't have been that way.
Okay.
Because if he wasn't obsessed with a goddamn fucking mystery box,
admittedly.
Die in a fire, J.J. Abrams, and your freaking mystery box. Sorry. No, but it's just, his mystery box is why episode 8 is bad. Because if he didn't mystery box the thing, then Rian Johnson wouldn't have had to make decisions about the things.
I'm not necessarily convinced of that.
Why? If Rey was Rey Skywalker at the end, or Rey Solo or whatever at the end, he couldn't have been like, oh, Rey's parents are nothing. You know, if they would have told us who Snoke was in 7, killing him in 8 wouldn't have been as big a blow. Like, all the mystery box stuff.
The Snoke I get, I mean, to be honest with you, I've been able to digest Snoke because he served his purpose. He was a villain punching bag. And remember when I said that I think that some of the things that people hate...
He survived all this long and a freaking kid kills him. Like, it's so depressing.
Yeah, but probably the most powerful conflicted Force user we've ever seen, who pulls on both the light and the dark side of the Force, who uses pain as his charge. You know what I mean? I think Kylo is incredibly.
I'm pretty sure Snoke uses pain. He looks like he's been pretty fucked up.
He looks like he's pretty fucked up, but dude, homeboy might just need to moisturize. Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood doesn't moisturize. Clint Eastwood needs to moisturize.
I'm not arguing, but I'm pretty sure moisturizing won't fix anything wrong with Snoke. He's missing like half of his face.
Pretty sure
a little moisture isn't going to fix that. Like he's in pain more than Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren's in like, I'm emo. That's my pain.
Emo, sure. And, you know, admittedly, I'm over the emo for a long fucking time now. But Kylo Ren, to me, has an entire episode of Nerdynomicon all to himself. I think that there is so much there. Kylo and Rey has probably a three-parter between the two of them. As far as the Rey parentage thing goes, and this is something that you and I have talked about ad nauseum, but I'll say it again because most of when we've discussed it is
no one's heard
text.
It.
Exactly. I already said on here that sometimes you or myself, you know, will be sitting there thinking that actually I like that because it was clever to me. I think it was one of the more clever things about it, but, you know, this person hates it. Like what you were saying, you love Deep Space 9 and kind of dislike Voyager.
Yeah, the Voyager's
Whereas,
really famous.
You know, the guy person, you're talking yeah. to likes Voyager, doesn't like Deep Space 9.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you were to talk with him, you might be like, oh, well, I hate this person. Actually, I thought that was one of the best parts of the entire show, and this is why. Rey's parentage to me is exactly that. I don't think it would have made any more sense or been any more powerful or moving or anything if it turned out that she was a Solo or a Kenobi. Palpatine perhaps would have been the best of the options, but I actually kind of love if she came from nowhere. Well, I think it's one of the most clever things about the movie.
I felt lazy. It didn't feel clever to me. It felt really lazy.
Personal preference on that. To me, especially...
And because it was handled so lazily, it could be easily dismissed in the next film. Because it was handled so lazily.
Of course it could be dismissed. I mean, you wouldn't even have to work that hard for it. It didn't feel lazy to me. It felt powerful to me.
Well, because when Kylo Ren says it to you, your parents are just like, how the fuck do you know? You don't know anything. You're just some dude. Like, you don't, you have no, he has no clue.
It's a possibility.
He's fucking what?
And that could be you know, one possibility there. But also look at it this way. When she's in the dark side cave, you know, she's looking at that reflection. You're seeing all the different versions of her. And, you know, getting that whole Mirror of Erised moment where she's looking in, she thinks that she's going to see her parents, and what does she see? Herself.
Same thing Luke saw. Because, Luke just saw himself too.
Yes, but Luke, that was a completely different circumstance. Luke, what
but
that
still,
one was...
the Force Cave doesn't give you the answers.
The Force Cave absolutely gives you the answers. That's the key thing, and that was the key thing about Empire. When Luke broke the visage of Darth Vader, he got to see the fear that he himself could become Vader. He was getting to see the personification of his fear of being tempted by the dark side. When Rey was looking at that reflection, to me at least, and maybe I'm looking at this in a completely different lens than everybody else. To me, when she saw her that reflection, when she thought she was going to see her parents, she did. She raised herself. And to me, the message of that is, if you want to bet on one thing, bet on those who have to fend for themselves. Or if you want to tie it into the direct ending of that movie, bet on those who have to clean up everyone else's mistakes and bullshit. Hence the little stable boy. To me, that was powerful. To me, the fact that she has no parents, that she doesn't have a chapter in this. You're nothing. You come from nowhere. You don't matter. Okay, so I don't matter, but here I am, standing toe-to-toe with you, the Dynasty character for this trilogy. Well, that's, because he is the Dynasty character. It's still a Star Wars, a Skywalker saga.
Well, not if he's the bad guy, not to kill him. The numbered movies can't be Skywalker saga anymore.
So let the numbered movies end. Let the Skywalker saga end. There's still another universe.
Yeah,
it's a whole universe.
But there's... The saga movies are supposed to be the bigger tentpole movies, and the spinoffs are supposed to be the spinoffs. Like, if they're all spinoffs, I think I'm going to get tired of Star Wars if it's just spinoffs, especially the way they've been handling them.
Especially the way they've been handling them, yes. My point is, yeah, all we've gotten right now is a Rogue One spinoff and a Solo spinoff. So give us another flagship. Using as an example, because I think we can both agree on this, Knights of the Old Fucking Republic.
Sure.
Give us a new trilogy. Give us a new numerical series. You have your Skywalker saga. Maybe it's time for that to end if they end with Kylo. And who's to say that that series of movies does not expand? Who's to say that Kylo dies in 9?
And even I mean, he might not. Maybe they'll redeem him and do a switch. But that's the problem. That's the problem with killing.
I think it would be more powerful if they don't redeem him and his offspring carry on the torch. And then maybe we've got the maybe two sons conflicting thing. Maybe we can get that or three kids like what was originally.
Yeah,
in
but they're not going to kill Rey and let just Kylo. Like, they're not going to do that. And I still want to see a female antagonist Force user. Oh God!
Oh God! I would absolutely love to.
I need some Darth.
And who's to say that we don't?
I need some Darth Talon in my life.
Exactly.
All over my face, neck, and chest. Hopefully, she squirts.
But I mean, there. And also, I saw the look in your eye too. Please don't think that I was attacking you when I was saying any of this other stuff. I'm just saying that lots of the things that you've even pointed out that you didn't care for, I think were some of the more clever ways to go, because Star Wars is not what it once was. Star Wars is also very indicative of the time frame that you're seeing these movies. When they were brought back at the end of the 90s in a whiz-bang toy commercial fashion, you know, if you read... I got this from Movies with Mikey as well, actually. He did a treatment of Star Wars where he went back and looked at the reactions to every single Star Wars movie that came out from A New Hope all the way up to The Last Jedi. And with the absolute exception of The Last Jedi, every other movie, except for Empire as well, because Empire was the basis of comparison, every other movie was compared to Empire. It always went A New Hope, oh my God, it's so amazing, then Empire. Most people didn't care for it right away. As a matter of fact, lots of people hated it, because then the number one reason, oddly, is it resolved the love triangle. You had your Luke shippers and you had your Han shippers, and it resolved the love triangle right away. And people didn't like that in the 80s. Then Jedi came out. Oh my God, I loved it more than Empire, or at least as much as Empire. Then Phantom Menace. Best movie next to Empire. There's Empire, then there's this. Attack of the Clones, exact same thing. Revenge of the Sith, exact same thing. Force Awakens, exact same thing. It only ended at The Last Jedi. But Star Wars is not what it once was. And I think that The Last Jedi was a difficult film and set up the way it was purposefully. I don't think that any of this stuff was lazy. I think that it was very, very, very intentional. Although burning down the old, I think, was one of the big themes for it. And I think that it was difficult to go forward by design.
It was, but then he said fuck you to himself at the end, whenever Luke was like, oh, I'm not the last Jedi, it's going to continue on. And it's like, oh, I'm just like, come on. Like, if you're going to preach a message of forgetting the past, stick with it. Don't shrug your shoulders at the end of the movie. I just felt insulted every single step of the way. Forget the past. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Okay. If you want to forget the past, okay.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, we're not really going to forget the past. I'm like, fuck you, you fucking asshole. I hate you.
But also Ryan keep in Johnson. Mind, it wasn't necessarily Luke all this time that was saying forget the past.
It was both Luke and Kylo.
It was, for the majority, Kylo. And that's what I loved. The Luke, to a degree, if you go back and actually listen to the dialogue a little bit more, yeah, a little bit, but Luke doesn't even touch the Force again until after Rey leaves because he was tempted so much by the dark side. Luke was tempted by the dark side from moment one,
yeah,
hence seeing his visage behind Vader's mask on Dagobah.
Which is why we need neutral Force users. He should have spent all those years, you know, figuring out how to be a neutral Force user instead of shutting himself off. There's so much missed opportunity with Episode 8. So much, and that's what kills me.
And exactly what you just said is exactly why I love it so much, too. Because there was so much missed opportunity. We didn't get the film that we thought we were going to get. That movie, you even said these exact words, that movie was a complete mistake. To me, that was the central theme of the movie, was mistakes. Luke, ever since Return of the Jedi, one mistake after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. His life was mistakes. So when he touches the Force at the end of the movie, to me, when he touches the Force and Force projects himself, instead of showing up on the planet and fighting Kylo face to face, which would have made Kylo right and would have validated him. Not to mention, I always loved the whole concept of Jedi as trickster. I've always loved that. It was my favorite thing about Qui-Gon. Him showing up and as a Force projection to not only humiliate Kylo, but also to make that story, that legend circulate throughout the galaxy to inspire that one spark of hope that the rebellion also needs. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to have to give up.
No, a Force power shouldn't fucking kill you. It's a fucking life force. It shouldn't kill you.
It's an energy field.
Energy sustains life.
Energy is also used up and can perpetuate death.
Stupid. Using the Force should not kill you. You're not.
Using the Force also shouldn't disfigure you. Look what happened to Palpatine when he was using the Force.
Palpatine did not get disfigured. Palpatine's true form showed forth. He's way older than he appears. So is that
what happened?
I never saw that. He had a Force visage, I believe, because I believe he's way older than what he says he is.
Oh, that would actually make a lot more sense than what we fucking saw.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it disfigured. I think it revealed his true form.
Oh, well, that's interesting. All these years, I actually never knew that.
That's my interpretation of it. I felt like he wanted Anakin to think it disfigured him, so he could like play the I'm hurt card.
But that's interesting.
Dropping his visage of a youthful old man.
I like that a lot.
So I mean, like, I don't think the Force lightning, it didn't hurt him. It just revealed his true form, or he let his true form show so that it looked like he was being hurt, and then he'd play sympathy to Anakin because Anakin is all about that sympathy.
And as far as you know, even setting up that the Force projection
power,
across
power.
The universe would kill you. Kylo even makes reference to that when they realize that they're Force projecting. He responds to that immediately because a mortal body exerting that much power to manipulate the Force in that way, you're going to exert yourself. I mean, hell, try running down the block right now. You're going to physically exert yourself. You keep on running. Eventually, you'll pass out, possibly have a heart attack and die. The energy field gets manipulated by a Jedi. That's what it is. And it takes ability, focus, and yeah, of course, doing certain things. I think it's logical that doing certain things for a prolonged amount of time could inevitably lead to your death. I mean, but to me, it's just logical.
The force is like, it's supposed to be a spiritual thing, like a spiritual energy that you can tap into. It shouldn't fucking make you die.
That you can tap into, sure, and to do certain things. Yeah,
and he's not jumping around. He's not doing. He's just projecting an image.
He's projecting an image across the universe. And if memory serves, actually brought something corporeal straight through, or did the...
The dice disappear, too.
The dice did disappear?
Yeah, after he died somehow, but whatever.
I didn't remember that. It could have been an echo.
The whole thing is dumb.
But I think a good point to wrap up on is the civility of the conversation. Because, I mean, you obviously venomously hate this movie, and I vigorously... love this movie. I think it's extremely clever, and I have a fuck ton more to say about this movie. Mm-hmm. I think that there's so much win with this movie. Not to say that it's perfect. I'm not going to say it's perfect. And almost no movie is, with the possible exception of Logan and Dogma. But here's the point. And as far as I'm concerned, and know you, just because I know you, rebuke no one for their opinions on this. I do not rebuke you for hating this movie.
No, I rebuke no one. I'm just trying to get my point across.
And I understand.
I do. Some people do think I come off as mean when I get opinionated, and I'm not trying to be. I'm just like,
I didn't think you came across as mean. I thought you actually were coming across as being pissed off at me for just one second.
No, dude, chill. No.
I'm not fighting with you.
It's passion. The passion of the David.
But I personally. It's really no skin off my back. Hate the movie until you're blue in the face for all I care, man. I do not rebuke you for this. My only ask for all of our audience is don't jump to conclusions and don't sell things short. You know what I mean? Check something out before you jump on a hype train. Formulate your own opinions.
Don't jump on that Kathleen Kennedy hate train just because she's a woman and because people are assholes. No, my opinion is just, I just don't think she's got the governance that Kevin Feige has brought to Marvel.
Kevin Feige, I also think, is getting a little bit too much credit for where Marvel is right now.
I don't know how it's, but I mean, it's just every time you hear like Marvel, it's like it goes back to Kevin Feige.
Right.
I don't know if that's true from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It may not be.
It's not. But because I have been following Kevin Feige. Marvel's secret sauce, and what I hope that Kathleen Kennedy continues to do, is more of Episode 8. Now, let me explain. Before you jump in, let me explain.
I'm hulking out right now.
Let me explain what I mean. Marvel's secret sauce is basically right now, make the movie that you need to make. Get the artist in and give them free rein. You know, look what Ryan Coogler did with giving us Black Panther. Look what Jon Favreau did with bringing us Iron Man going way back to the beginning. Make the movie, and then we'll find a way to bring it in. Make the movie you need to make. Give your artist license.
Sure, but that's individual things. But a Star Wars trilogy,
Kathleen Kennedy,
needs cohesion.
The cohesion comes as you go through. Kathleen Kennedy's main problem right now, the biggest issue I have with her, is she seems to get that, but is too scared to implement it. Because of what you said, a huge theme in Star Wars Episode 8 was burning down the past. It has to move forward. This is not going to end the way you think, as worded by Luke. All right, you've said that. You've stated that. That's your mission statement. Go from there. Now, you gave Rian Johnson creative license. I loved it. You hated it. That's fine, but you gave him creative license. That is your way. Move forward. And then marry the concepts. Kathleen Kennedy and her production team seem to be too scared to do so. Hence the firings. Hence the Solo of it all. And again, I liked Solo. It was a fun movie. But if you're going to break away from the past, and if you want to give creative license and you want to move forward, do that.
But they
don't preach it and then pull yourself back because you're too scared.
They don't want to get creative. They just want to get a yes man to film the script. I'm like, then just film all the movies by committee.
But that's just it. Again, as far as I'm concerned, Rogue One was made by committee. If that's what they're going to do them all that way.
No.
But
No.
That's another one that we're divisive about. Well, we do not have time for that. But if you're going to do that, do it. Don't half-ass it.
Do it.
Pull forth. Just do it. Don't half-ass it. And that's where I think she's falling short. I think she is too scared.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I think that the same could be said about Zack Snyder. I think the same could be said about whoever directed The Mummy, whose name I'll have memorized for when I get Chris on here.
For Brooke Orsi? Was it Orsi?
Might have been. You might be right about that. Because I have a lot more to say about these movies, and a lot of this comes back to Marvel, because they just – all they do is win, win, win right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm giving too much.
Hands go up.
Maybe I'm giving too much credit to Kevin. But he's always the one moderating for all the movies, and he gets together.
Well,
of course, a lot of credit,
it's because he's the studio head, but he's not the one that's been in control of Ryan Coogler. Ryan Coogler did Ryan Coogler.
Sure, yeah,
you know what I mean. And I'm not saying that he's absorbing all the credit or anything like that. I'm far from that. That's not what I'm saying.
But they've got a plan. And I feel like there isn't one with Star Wars other than just put movies out and make money.
It's not that they have a plan. It's that they have an end goal. And each movie is its own movie working toward
that end goal.
For all we know, Locked in a Vault, the same way that they've been doing with Game of Thrones, and you and I have talked about this before, again, off mic, both of us completely disagree with what happened last season in a lot of ways. And both of us completely disagree with season 5 in a lot of ways. Specifically, the usage of the sand snakes. But they have...
We agreed with that.
Yeah.
We hated the way they used it. That's
what I mean.
Yeah.
You and I agreed about that.
Yeah.
We agreed about how we didn't like the way they were doing
it. Gotcha.
Maybe I worded that weird. But no, you and I agreed
I thought you were saying we didn't agree on
that. No.
I thought we agreed on Game of Thrones.
No.
Yeah.
I might have misrepresented that. No, you and I agreed that we disagreed on how they were handling it.
Yes.
Did I word that better?
Yes.
All right. But we all know, or at least if we're to take everybody, probably the 30 people that have said it on camera and to the AP, that they have an end goal in mind. It's locked in a safe. They know how the series will end. But D&D now have creative license because they're ahead of the books to tell the story in their way to get to this set end goal.
Mm-hmm.
For all we know, and I'm not saying that this is the case, just like you cannot definitively say that it is not, there is an end goal for episode 9 of this trilogy, or even beyond.
Well, there isn't.
We do not know that.
They fired Colin Trevorrow because
that is a director. I'm talking about an absolute end goal. I'm not talking about the journey. I'm talking about the destination.
Sure.
I'm not talking about fate. I'm talking about the destiny.
I don't know. I don't think there is, because he wanted certain things to happen for episode 9, and then Rian Johnson said no, and so they can't. So it doesn't seem like there is an end goal, because there, of all the turmoil and all the infighting, it doesn't feel like there might be. There might be, for all I know, for all you know, there might be.
That's all I wanted to get you to say, is to just to tickle that possibility.
But it doesn't feel like it from
and that's fine.
All the news
and that's fine.
From all the news we've seen, like they got rid of Colin, and they got, you know, because, you know, he wanted Luke Skywalker to be around, and Luke Skywalker's dead.
I'm not depressed about getting rid of Colin Trevorrow, but that's just my opinion.
No, but I
hear you. I see what you're saying.
I don't care one way or the other, but it's just the fact that there's more turmoil. There's not. That's not a collaborative environment. It doesn't get your goddamn house in order. It doesn't sound like it's a collaborative, healthy environment. It sounds like hell. They fired Lord and Miller. They brought in a yes man, Ron Howard, just to film the script. They got rid of Colin Trevorrow because Colin Trevorrow wanted Luke Skywalker to. It's just like, why isn't there any creative, like, collaborating? It's all like, oh, this is my movie, and we're not gonna. I'm like, no, it's a trilogy. A trilogy needs to tell Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3.
Right.
And it needs to feel like an act. But Episode 7 felt like a prologue, and Episode 8 felt like all three acts in one movie.
It did.
What are we going to do in Episode 9? It doesn't feel like a trilogy. It just...
And honestly, I like that feeling after I left Episode 8, because I have no idea where we're going to be going from here. And I think that was by design. Now, I don't envy whoever is going to pick it up next,
which I believe is going
to be J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, because it's just like he's written into a corner. Because I wish J.J. Abrams would have just done all three of them. He could have unwrapped his mystery box, and it could have been fine. It could have been a cohesive story. I wish he would have done it so it could have been a cohesive story. Like, letting three different people and then throwing the third one out and bringing J.J. back, because it just doesn't... It's not going to feel right, and it already doesn't feel right after episode 8, and that's just what concerns me. It just doesn't feel like it's telling a cohesive story to me.
Well, all I'm going to say, and then I think it's time for us to wrap, because I think we're probably going pretty long here.
90 minutes. That's the average.
Yeah, that's pretty average then. Well, my bad. All I'm going to say is everybody said the exact same thing after Empire. And that's not me speculating. Again, I highly recommend everybody check it out. It's a Star Wars series, How I See Star Wars, or How I View Star Wars, I believe is what it's called. It's on FilmJoy's YouTube page, youtube.com/FilmJoy. Check it out. Mikey Newman narrates it. And it is very, very, very enlightening because everybody said that about every other Star Wars movie. And I think, and he breaks it down, and I think he's right. Maybe we need to wait for the last act before we make a final decision on episode 8, because even I may change my mind on that.
Sure. But the thing is, like, episode 7 was so meh to me. It just wasn't exciting because it felt like a rehash of episode 4.
Oh, it definitely adhered closely to A New Hope.
So,
for sure.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know,
it absolutely did.
I went into episode 8 needing it to fix those problems. And instead of fixing those problems, it just, like, railroaded, it ran over them all, and it made a whole new set of problems for me. So, like, I needed, like, as a fan, you know, like, okay, I know you needed to do a soft reboot by, like, you know, rehashing episode 4. So, I mean, like, to me, a lot hinged on episode 8 personally for me to, like, if I'm going to give a shit about Star Wars anymore. And episode 8 just, like, it didn't make episode 7 any better. It made it worse. And I needed the movie to enhance the film instead of de-enhance the film. Although, like it's true. We need a third one to see if it's going to make it feel cohesive.
Because, to be honest with you, and I could see this going in either direction. I could see you and I sitting back down here in this exact same office in 3 years after the movie comes out and we have some time to digest it, and either me retroactively disliking the other two movies a little bit more than I do, even though I love them both,
or you
liking the other two movies more because of where it ended up. I could see either possibility taking place. I'm not going to say which one will happen.
I have no idea.
I
have no idea either. It will be interesting to see how it ends up.
Jedi made me like the original movies 10 times more than I ever thought possible, even as a child. Whereas Revenge of the Sith solidified my hatred of the other prequel movies.
Hmm.
So,
I love me some Return of the Jedi.
I love me some Return of the Jedi. That's what I mean. Return of the Jedi made the other two movies better by existing.
That's probably my favorite Star Wars film.
Yeah, it made the other movies in the original trilogy better by existing. It brought everything full circle. It answered the questions that I needed answered. It didn't answer everything, and I didn't need everything answered because Star Wars is a vast universe, and some of it is best left not said. And up to your own imagination as to what you could do with that.
And we need more Jabba Palace type things in Star Wars.
Fuck yes.
So we need more of that. Come on, Disney.
Whereas Revenge of the Sith retroactively made me hate the prequels that much more.
Because Revenge of the Sith was the only kind of good one.
Yeah, to a degree. Yes. And I'm not even saying it was that great, but yeah, at least it
was kind of good.
It had more moments than the other ones. It was kind of all right.
Yeah.
It was palatable.
No. Sort of.
Maybe. No. Sorry. So I guess what I'm saying, my conclusion, and then I'll shut the fuck up, is I think we should wait till episode 9 before I say that this new trilogy is that amazing.
Yes.
Or you say that they're an absolute irredeemable dumpster fire. Dislike them if you want, but don't sell them short until we get the full scope. The spinoff movies, do what you want. As far as I'm concerned, do what you want. Hate Rogue One all you want. Hate Solo all you want. Well, I enjoy both of them.
Solo's okay.
So I guess that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it'll be interesting. But I mean, like, yeah, it will. But you also have to, you know, like, movies need to have some of their own merits, too.
They do. They do. And to me, these two movies have all the merits. To you, one actually made the other one worse. And it's not like you don't understand that. There's a horror movie that I thought was incredible called The Haas's October Belt. I thought that movie was incredible. Brooke and I watched it during October. It was amazing. I found out, oh my God, there's a sequel. We need to watch this. We spent like $6, ordered immediately off of Amazon. I don't know if I can watch the first one again. It fucked it up that much.
Oh, man.
So it's not like I don't get it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just that
you don't see it the way I do.
I don't see these movies through the same lens that you were seeing. It's not like I don't understand your feelings.
I just
do not share them.
Yeah.
You know, just like I love these new movies
and you do not. Yeah. And it's just hard for me to grasp. It's vice versa. Yeah.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
And to be honest, we come from
different places on it.
We absolutely do. And I think the lesson here that people should be learning is you can still have a civil and
beef. We can be friends and have a complete opposite opinions on it.
Absolutely.
So Facebook, listen up.
Twitter, listen up.
Well, I mean, the responses are a lot longer and a lot meaner on Facebook because you're not limited like you are on Twitter. But
yeah, Twitter has a lot more hate, but
Facebook's got a lot of it too. But
yeah, I'm starting to see more and more.
But yeah,
I think people could learn a lesson here. I don't want to pat ourselves on the back. Hey, two buddies just talking about Star Wars for 2 hours. But I think that there's a lot of subtext even in this conversation.
Absolutely.
To be honest with you. And I'm really glad that we had it, even though we spent like half the episode talking about Episode 8.
But there's just not a lot,
Solo
not a lot to
Magoo.
Say about Solo.
Yes, I agree.
And it's just you know, it's they're saying it's underperforming the box office, and you know, it's
well, I think
no one asked for it. That's just what it comes down to. I think,
and you can make the argument nobody asked for Black Panther either. I mean, I was not expecting. I went on record on this very podcast, saying that I am not excited at all for Black Panther. And I was actually called out by a couple of listener emails saying, well, what do you mean by that? I mean, that even sounded a little bit racist. And I had to extrapolate my thoughts a little bit more. It was not that I was not excited for the movie. I thought the trailer looked fun. I was not excited for the Marvel treatment, which is the same formula they do for every first.
Yeah.
First Solo movie of the series. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking boring. I did not know we were going to be getting this movie.
Yeah.
And again, this Black Panther was and still is right now a moment in time. It became a cultural phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, hell, we saw that at Nickel City Con. How many Black Panthers did you see?
A couple.
I saw probably six
Three.
Or seven.
Three or
How
four.
Many did you see last year?
None.
Zero.
Although William Shatner was there, and I saw a ton of Star Trek cosplay last year. I didn't see one this year. I was so disappointed.
Was there any Star Trek celebs?
No, but at least someone represents.
Agreed.
I saw some Deltas on kilts and on shirts, but I didn't see any actual uniforms, so I was kind of disappointed. Fair. We even had a Borg Queen last year. That's a pretty...
Oh, I missed that one. Yeah. Oh, that's fucking tits.
Well, you weren't at Nickel City last year.
That's right, I wasn't. I was camping. But anyway. So, Duncan... Where can we find you?
Well, it's Synthaholics. You can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. On Twitter, we're at Synthaholic Duo. I personally am David_J_Duncan. And Aaron is at Blackbird2004. Holly is at Lunar Thistle. And Robbie is at Robbie the Saber.
Oh, that's my personal one. Yeah, you can also find me at Nerdynomicon. That's the one I'm jockeying most of the time.
And... join the Facebook conversation. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/Synthaholics and facebook.com/Nerdynomicon.
Absolutely. And if you want to get at me, like Duncan said, you can find me at Nerdynomicon on Twitter. Join the discussion on the Facebook groups, like you said. Follow the page, facebook.com/Nerdynomicon. Check out the YouTube channel. We're going to be doing a lot more fun stuff there.
Yes, the YouTube channels, youtube.com/Nerdynomicon and youtube.com/Synthaholics. We both have cosplay videos. Like we said in the front.
Hell, the new batch is coming back in a big bad way, starting up in the fall. And we're going to be focusing a lot more on doing actual shows over there. Like Sinful Analysis is going to be a thing. Brooke's got a project that she has in the works. She's recorded a couple of episodes. And if you want to reach out to us and... you know, get your voice on the podcast, feel free to do that. You can email a voice memo, nerdynomicon@gmail.com, or give us a call and leave us a voicemail and have it heard on the air, 716-406-7354. Again, that's 716-406-7354.
And if you want to send voice messages to Synthaholics, too, you can just send those as an attachment to Synthaholics@yahoo.com. We love to get user feedback, listener feedback, voice or text otherwise. I know we have an email in there. We haven't got a chance to read it yet. We're wanting to get back together with Holly because Holly is mentioned in the email. So we're going to...
oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear that.
We're going to read that once we get to, when me and Aaron can get back together with Holly.
Right on. And if you want to help us out... you know, there's a variety of ways you could do that. You can, first and foremost, specifically, talk about us. Tell your friends. You know, tell your teacher.
Go door to door, like the Mormons.
Absolutely. Have you heard the word of the Book of Nerdynomicon?
And Synthaholics.
Exactly. There's a Synthaholic over there. He's got an alcoholic beverage. They read from the Nerdynomicon. It's fucking great. And then have the cops called on you. But so maybe not do it that exact way.
We'll go to the bus stop, friends at work.
Exactly. Talk about us through interpretive dance. That's always a fun thing that you could do.
Or when you're hitchhiking, even.
And if none of these ideas appeal to you, that's fine. Rate and review us, especially on
iTunes.
Apple Podcasts. That's what they like to be called now.
Oh, Apple Podcasts. Oh,
yeah,
I'm
they
sorry.
Changed their fucking name.
Oh.
And if you fancy. Really like us and you want to help us out, either of us, we do both have Patreons. Patreon.com/Nerdynomicon. You get early access to everything that we're doing. We've got a lot of polls and stuff like that that are going to be going up there, and original content that you can find nowhere else, baby.
And that's at patreon.com/Synthaholics. So we're pretty consistent with our slashes. /Synthaholics/Nerdynomicon.
Exactly. It's kind of like the Book of Thomas that they talk about in that movie Stigmata. Turn a rock and you will find me. You
know? Yeah, it's great. Oh,
we're making this religious now.
Oh, no.
Turn a rock and you'll find Nerdynomicon and Synthaholics.
Yeah, it's been fun doing the duo episode, Robbie.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I had an absolutely great time. We got fucking deep and we still made dick and fart jokes.
Yes.
I love it.
How it's meant to be.
So, I hope you guys enjoyed. You know how to find us. You know how to show us love. You know how to show us monetary love. So, we're going to get the fuck out of here, man. Until next time, I've been Robbie.
And I've been David. Thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper.
Let's shut the book, bitch!
Well, it's both our shows, so...
Well, I'm closing the book.
Peace and long life.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink and we'll cry till we laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Upside it.
Oh, really now?
You don't like it? Because it's happening. I'm saying all the things to you, David Duncan.
All the things.
All of the things.
All the small things.
You've been staring when I didn't want you to. I could, you know,
keep
like
telling
that
me about
song,
the small things.
I keep that 80s song. I always feel like somebody's watching me. That's why I don't like showering anymore.
That doing that thing you do.
You're right. Your sense of music is terrible. Completely wrong decade. It's like 20 years. It's junior.
No,
or senior. I mean,
the movie's a 90s movie though.
Based on a group from the 60s, dude.
Oh, well, whatever. 60s of Star Trek.